The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
Are you sure you're 18?
Why, do I look older?
Edmund, you're supposed to be helping me with the groceries.
Better luck next time, eh, Squirt?
Squirt? I'm a king.
Not in this world.
Listen, have you seen this ship before?
It's very Narnian looking, isn't it?
What's going on here?
Edmund, the painting.
Go, princess! Go!
Welcome. You have come far, but your journey lies beyond.
Rikishi!
Your Majesties!
So if there are no wars to fight, then why are we here?
You are all about to be tested.
Edmund, I can make you my king, and much more.
It's a little taste of a movie that opens tomorrow, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Based on a famous set of novels by C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, the third, I believe. We're going to be reviewing that book and talking about the faithfulness, the fidelity of these films to their original books, and the Christian symbolism that is found in The Chronicles of Narnia and The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. A little preparation to watch that film on this Thursday afternoon, December the 9th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us with questions or comments. We are coming to you live. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about Christian symbolism in C.S. Lewis's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Will Voss, in just a moment. A little bit later in the hour, Dr. Brad Wilcox will join us. We'll talk about the current state of marriage in America. He has issued, co-authored a report titled State of Our Unions 2010, When Marriage Disappears. And then we'll review a novel by Marcus Borg, who's known as one of the leaders of the Jesus Seminar, famous liberal Bible scholars who've reduced the New Testament to just a handful of verses. Dr. Craig Hazen of Biola University will review Marcus Borg's latest novel called Putting Away Childish Things. Will Voss holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in drama from the University of California. He's author of the books Mere Theology, The Professor of Narnia, and The Hidden Story of Narnia. Will, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd.
So far, in your estimation, how faithful have the films been to the books by C.S. Lewis?
Well, I think the first movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, was most faithful to the original book. And I had the joy of living with and working with Douglas Gresham, the stepson of C.S. Lewis, while the first film was being done. So it was a great delight to hear the reports from the set and then see how the movie came out. The second film, not as faithful to the original book, though for myself and my family, we certainly enjoyed the film. I'm hoping that with the third film, we'll see a return closer to the original book, though from seeing clips of the film, I know that there are some additions and changes.
For those who haven't read it, tell us a little bit about the plot of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Well, C.S. Lewis was inspired both by Homer's Odyssey and by the Irish legends of St. Brendan, the navigator. And so what we have here is an episodic journey, King Caspian taking the ship, the Dawn Treader, to the various islands, first starting with the Lone Islands and heading east toward Aslan's country. And at each island, Caspian and the children from our world face various challenges. As Douglas Gresham himself has said, they face various temptations they have to overcome. And the wonderful thing about this story is that they overcome each of those temptations, and so we learn from them how we can do that as well.
Now, it has been noticed, and it's very difficult not to notice, some very obvious Christian symbolism in all of the Narnia books, but in particular, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Where would you begin by way of Christian symbolism there?
Well, C.S. Lewis helps us out in the fact that in a letter to a girl named Anne, who wrote to him in 1961 with a question about the silver chair, he responded with a very detailed letter talking about the Christian symbolism in each of the seven books. And it's that letter on which I base my book, The Hidden Story of Narnia, and look at the Christian symbolism in each of the books. And Lewis himself said that The Voyage of the Dawn Treader was about the spiritual life, especially in the character of Reepicheep, the talking, valiant mouse. So we especially need to keep our eyes on Reepicheep as we watch this movie.
Who is Aslan in Lewis's estimation? How is he kind of perhaps the center of the Narnian universe, but also the chief Christian symbol that Lewis delivers to us there?
Well, Lewis said that Aslan, in a sense, is based upon a supposal. Lewis, before writing the books, sort of contemplated the supposal, well, how might God become incarnate in flesh in a world like Narnia, where there are talking beasts? And Lewis's answer to that was the character of Aslan, and he imagined God becoming a lion because the lion is the king of beasts. Of course, Jesus is referred to as the Lion of Judah in the Bible. And at the time that Lewis began writing the stories, he was having dreams about lions. And so Aslan made his way into Narnia through C.S. Lewis's dreams.
Now, you said that Reepicheep is going to be something to watch, this character, the talking mouse, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. What in particular should we be looking for?
Well, Reepicheep is eager to get to Aslan's country. And the whole direction of the plot of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader is that the ship is moving eastward, in a sense toward a new Jerusalem, towards Aslan's country, towards heaven. And Lewis once said that every person who deeply desires heaven will be like Reepicheep.
What did he mean by that?
Well, Reepicheep is constantly desiring to get to Aslan's country. You know, he never thinks the ship is getting on fast enough. And so Reepicheep has a different attitude towards death when it comes to the end of the story. He's not afraid of death, but longs to pass through death's door so that he can meet Aslan face to face.
When Lewis was crafting these, I know that he is kind of walking a knife's edge in a way. He's telling legitimate stories that would engage anyone as they're reading it, but he's also writing this as a deeply devout Christian. Do you think he's successful in doing this, kind of steering clear of kind of gross analogy or parable?
Yes, I think he is. He always made it clear that the Narnia books were not allegory. You know, in an allegory, everything in the story corresponds to something in our world or in spiritual reality. The Narnia books don't work that way. There's a lot of symbolism, yes, but, you know, people can find in the stories, in many ways, what they want to find and approach it from different directions. And I think these are stories that are accessible to people of all different faiths and no faith at all. And I think the first way we should approach these stories and the movies is just to enjoy it for the story itself and not go looking at it with our eyes peeled for clues, as Lewis would say.
What about the depiction of sin and evil in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
Yes, well, I know in the movie they are adding a character that is not in the book. They bring back the White Witch sort of as a ghost-like figure from the first story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But she doesn't figure in Lewis's telling of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. But the children face various temptations as they go along. You know, one of the first things that happens to them is they become enslaved on one of the lone islands because they aren't very careful and they don't think things through, you know, and I think that says a lot about our predicament as human beings. You know, the Bible says we're all enslaved to sin and we're in need of rescue. And the Voyage of the Dawn Treader is a wonderful story of rescue and conversion and all about how the spiritual life begins. And the character of Eustace is very important and central to that. He's one of the main characters that we see transformed in this story.
So finally then, Will, what are you looking forward to most in the film adaptation of Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
I think this is going to be a beautiful film. I just can't wait to see it with my three boys and my wife and friends. I think it's going to be a beautiful cinematic adaptation of this story. You know, Lewis referred to this as a very green and pearly story. I think maybe more than any of the Narnia stories, this is perhaps the most visually beautiful. And so hopefully that will attract a lot of people and interest a lot of people. And then subliminally, they'll be getting a wonderful message there that we all need to hear.
Will Voss holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in drama from the University of California. He's author of the books Mere Theology, The Professor of Narnia, and The Hidden Story of Narnia. You can find out more about each of these books under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Will, thanks for being our guest.
Enjoyed it.
When we come back, Dr. Brad Wilcox is going to join us. He's co-authored a new report titled State of Our Unions 2010, When Marriage Disappears. And he has noted a historic shift. It used to be that people with less education generally valued marriage more highly. It was the foundation of our society, regardless of one's educational upbringing. And it's often supposed that the more educationally elite value marriage less. But what he's discovered is quite different. The more educated, the more you value marriage. And what was once only true of the permanent underclass, the loss of marriage, may be creeping into the so-called middle class. We'll take that subject up with him right after this.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.